I get a little uncomfortable. My thoughts this week have been on the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I can be short with it, I'm sure. Might have to be, if I don't get more voice. They spake this week of King Nebuchadnezzar, talked about a kingdom that he had built. And when he lifted up his eyes and said, "Look what mine hands have done," he began to think that he was something great. And it's an easy thing for man to think he's something. When a man thinketh in himself that he's something, he's nothing. You let us begin to think for a minute that we've got enough riches, or we've got enough power, or we've got enough of anything, and then you don't have anything. Stripped right from you. You might think you have. You may have a good bank account. I don't know. There's all sorts of things. You may have a good position. Sometimes people just love position. People go politicking here, and they go trying to get some little group with them over there, something over here. If God isn't for us, then you just as well not. The watchman waketh but in vain. If the Lord doesn't keep the city, if the Lord doesn't watch over us, why, we don't have any strength. That man came down to a time, and God spoke to him. He moved in there, and he said unto Nebuchadnezzar, "Thy kingdom is departed from thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." You know the story how Nebuchadnezzar went, and the story went that seven times would it pass over him, and that till he should know. But in the end, Nebuchadnezzar said from his own lips, "I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." You and I don't have to worry about that, but the Lord rules in the kingdoms of men. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. There's a lot of kingdoms, and I'd like to have time to tell you about them. It started right out with Adam in the Garden of Eden. The Lord gave him a kingdom.
Yeah.
He set him there to rule over it. He set him there to care for it. It wasn't no small garden like you think of one of these victory gardens they had during the war in the back corner of your yard. But this thing had four heads of rivers that flowed through it. And it had every beast of the field, the cattle and the lions and the leopards and the rhinoceros, and all of those things were in it. It wasn't no small garden.
No.
It wasn't what you think of as a vegetable garden. It wasn't that at all.
No.
It had trees that bore all kinds of fruit. That was a kingdom.
Yeah, it was a Garden of Eden.
It was a kingdom, and he put him rule over it. Isn't that what makes it a kingdom? Something that you rule over, or something that's ruled over. Well, in the kingdom that we're in, why, it's something that God rules over. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, you know the story that we are not come unto a mount that might be touched, or that's burned with fire, nor with blackness or darkness, nor temptest, or the sound of a trumpet. There was a kingdom like that one time. There was a time when God spake to Moses like that, and so awful, which voice they heard and entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. It was so terrible. For they could not endure that which was commanded. Oft times we find that. The Spirit of the Lord begins to move, and the prophets of God begin to expound on the word, and we need instructions, and we've had instruction here this week. I don't want to shrink back from it. I don't want to be one that I can't take it. I don't want to be one that I can't endure that which was commanded. Well, they couldn't endure. That was a time when Moses went up there on the mount. It was so terrible that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake."
That's right.
But you're coming to Mount Zion.
Yeah, that's right.
I like the way that God has established his kingdom in the hearts of men. We are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, to a heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, we've got a wailing wall. It's a whole lot better than that one that some of them put so much credit in over there in the Far East. But we've got a place that we can come before God Almighty, and we can pour out our heart to, and we don't have to worry about the priest not understanding, do we?
No.
We don't have to worry about having a new man on the job that hadn't got any experience dealing with our problem.
No.
But we've got a high priest when we come before him that he was tested. He was tried. He's been there, and he's tempted in all points, like as we are. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. No wonder it looks like sanctified people drop down out of heaven, as I've heard them talk about. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus.
That's right.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Something that's got blood that atones not only for the sins that we commit, but it gives us a conscience that's void of offense towards God and man. Right. One that will eradicate the sinful nature.
Right.
Something that can cleanse a man from all of his sins. Oh, I'd love to read you in Mark where Jesus began to expound to the disciples about the good things. I don't know.
Sorry.
We got a few minutes. Let me just take a few minutes. This kingdom of God that he sent, there's a lot of people today that are looking for it. They're looking for it in tabernacles that's made with hands. They're looking for it in natural things that they're trying to achieve it through natural baptisms. Things that natural ordinances, they're trying to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus came and called the people unto him and his disciples, and he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. You want to be in the kingdom? Want to be a servant of the Lord? Want to be in the greatest kingdom that has ever existed? You know, we're in a great nation, and I appreciate the nation that we're in, the greatest one in the history of the universe as far as a nation's concerned. We got freedom. I left home, drove 600 miles without any fear of harassment. Didn't have to go through a lot of customs or a lot of problems, and that's good. As long as I'm a law-abiding citizen, I don't have any problems in this nation we're in.
Right.
It's the same way in the kingdom of God, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Got a job to do.
Yeah.
He'll put you to work. We don't know what we're going to do today. We get up in the morning, don't know what our work might be cut out for us, but whatsoever your hand find to do, do it with all of them us. Go to work. For whosoever will save his life, we'll lose it. Begin to get concerned about the affairs of this life. Begin to get all caught up with business or all caught up with trying to take care of self. Get a little self-centered and worried about who you are or what people think of you. You'll lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel. For my sake and the gospel. The same shall save. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Become the most prestigious position on the face of the earth. If he gained the wealth of the world, if he gained, as Satan offered to Jesus, all of the nations or the glory of those kingdoms. If he gained the whole world and lose his own soul, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
That's right.
He said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Isn't that pretty?
Yes, it is.
The kingdom of God come with power. I'm glad sanctified people explained that to me.
Yes.
I suppose if I'd have been had a mind that was turned to search out the things of God, I might could have found it. If I'd have been convicted, I don't know, at a young early age I met sanctified people, I wasn't all that interested. Didn't know how to be. I didn't hardly understand so much about life, but I thank the Lord that sanctified people have been digging in the Word of God. Call my attention to it, and I obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to me. In the book of Revelations, it says the seventh angel sounded. You remember, it was seven, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
This was the last one. The seventh angel sounded. You heard about all the things that God did there in the book. When John was there, they spoke of it this week on the Isle of Patmos, when he was there exiled and in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
That's right.
You looking for the kingdom to come? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. God is going to rule in your kingdom. You've got a rule and a reign for the few 70 years that you might serve here on this earth, and God is going to rule. You may not humble your knee, bow your knee, or you may, but every knee will bow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple. I'm skipping a verse or two here for brevity. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. The time when God began to put his kingdom on this earth, in this earth, may I say, in this earth, was a time when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his son. This woman was clothed of a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and she being with child. God began to work his kingdom into the lives and hearts of men and made a way that you and I might be a possessor and might be one of the servants of the Lord in the kingdom of God. Time would fail us to tell of the many things that God would do for us. In the book of John, Jesus spoke again. Speaking of this son, he was born into the world. In the end of the world, he came. God sent him in the fullness of time. And he lived a life, as we know, of some 30-some years. And then there came a time that Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus before him. God was working his kingdom. He'd been prophesied of many years. And he asked him, "Art thou king? Who is it rules over this kingdom?" The book of Revelations, they looked for someone that could open the seals of the book. They looked and they couldn't find anybody worthy. Pilate was looking for, "Art thou the king? Who is it that rules over this kingdom of God? Is there any one of us that could do any of these things?" When the Lord spoke to Job, if we had time, you could read there how that he began to ask Job, "Where was thou when the foundations of the earth were laid? Where was thou when he did all of his wonderful works? When he put the feathers in the ostrich, where were you?" You ever think about that? So many things that God did. His kingdom is complete. Here Pilate said, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee?" Are you sincere about finding God, or are you just asking questions that might be come of someone else? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto thee. What hast thou done? Answer for yourself." I thank God this morning for a privilege to answer for myself, as Paul the Apostle says. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world."
No, not of this world.
That's right.
So many strivings and strugglings that go on here. People worry about things in this life. "My kingdom is not of this world."
That's right.
"Or if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence."
That's right. Not from hence.
Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest thou art a king.
That's right.
To this end was I born.
That's right.
And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." If you hear that the voice of God speaking, those that are lost, while you may feel the voice of God in your life, you may feel the spirit of conviction, God will deal in the hearts of men. But this kingdom of God, as it's already been told this week, it's in the hearts and lives of men.
Yes, it is.
Thank the Lord that we can have a part of it, that we can know in yourselves in whom you believe, that we can know that the kingdom of God reigns and lives forever.
That's right.
They spake this week of that great city of Babel, the mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. Do you know that the forces of evil are allied against the kingdom of God today?
That's right.
I'm talking about this spiritual kingdom that's in the hearts and the lives of you and I.
Right.
When you get sanctified and get God in your heart, the kingdom of God is come, and it hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You've got the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom, and God gives you to care for his garden. He gives you a work to do to go out into his vineyard. He gives you something that you can do to work for him that's greater than any monetary. His rewards are greater than any monetary gain you could have. But these allied forces, if you will, of the devil, this great queen of Babel, all there out in the world, and they're there to resist the forces of God, but there's not a chance, if you trust in God, that you can be overcome. There's not a chance. You could read in the 19th chapter of Revelation. I'm going to read just a little in the 17th about those in this kingdom. You needn't think that you're going to get sanctified and sit down and not have anything else to do.
That's right. No,
I don't want you to think that.
No.
I don't want these ones that's got sanctified this camp meeting just to think, "Well, I'm sanctified now. I can go on." Darren, you're one. When you go back over to Buena Vista, wherever you live, LF, when you get sanctified, when you go back home to Norfolk, where you live, it's not time to say, well, I'm sanctified.
No, that's right.
That's right.
Thee shall make war with the Lamb.
Yes.
You're going to have some trials and tribulation. You're going to have a time the devil will see to it. But he won't make you do it. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can be more than overcomers through Christ, which strengtheneth us. These will make war with the Lamb. Of the great Queen of Babel, they've got many disciples. They've got many angels. They've got some look like sheep. They are. I believe the word says that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wolves they are.
That's right.
If they'd open the mouth, you can see fangs, I suppose. But they got wool sheep's clothing on.
Yeah.
Wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, let's beware.
That's right.
Let's take heed to the things that we have heard. Let's don't count them lightly, but we need what we had here at camp meeting this year.
Yeah.
And what we're yet to get. I need every blessing the Lord's given me.
Yeah.
I want to take it home and I want to treasure it. I want to put it there and I want to meditate on it. I want to live with it. I want to take it into my bosom, as they quoted Jeremiah this week, so that it burns within me and I cannot stay.
Yes.
I want to be like the sister said that, who was the one that said they couldn't keep from testifying? Got something to say. It was Sister Charlotte, one of them up here. Sister Lily. I've got something to say for the Lord too.
Yeah.
When you let the redeemed of the Lord say so. These one that's going home, these one, you've been sanctified 25 years. If you're sitting down looking for a good meeting, get up off your seat.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
That's right.
Make it a good
go to work for the Lord. You get a whole lot more out of me.
That's right.
You really do. Brother Callie Gray said a long time ago in Norfolk, I believe he said he read in the scriptures that the works of the flesh profiteth little. And he figured that he had to do a whole lot of them to amount to anything. So it's time to go to work for the Lord. It's all right to exercise your faith. But these allied forces, if you will, of the devil, these ones that get together to corrupt the children of God, they own every hand. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called. They that are with him are called and chosen.
Yes.
And faithful.
Yeah.
We're the called of the Lord.
That's right.
We're the chosen. We didn't choose God. You ever seen anybody just decide they want to serve the Lord without any call? No spirit of prayer? Don't feel a need of God? You can't come to the Lord without a need. Feeling the need. You can't come to God except he begin to work and tender your heart and cause you to realize that I'm lost. I'm lost and I need the Lord. Well, if there's anyone here that is lost, there's nothing better that we have at camp.
That's right.
Than our altar services.
That's right.
No better reason for us to be here in Georgia for these 10 days or so than for those souls that come to this altar. Why, we're richly paid, aren't we?
Yes.
We that are sanctified. Yes. And to them, the brother that invested $1,500 to get back to sanctified folks and got $1 million in return,
yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. You can have that kind of return on your investment.
Yes.
You might not see it, but just believe sanctified people.
Yeah.
When they tell you the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and that he addeth no sorrow with it.
Yeah.
These trials and tribulations, did you know Jesus was never tempted? He was tempted with sin, but he wasn't tempted to sin.
No.
Yeah, he was tested. He was tried in all points like as we are, but he never had no desire to sin because he had his mind stayed on the Lord.
Yeah.
We can be that way. We can be more than overcomers.
That's right. Yes, we can.
That blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, doesn't any sorrow come with that? But you know what comes with that? Every good and every perfect gift is from above.
That's right.
And cometh down from the Father
that's
of lights,
right.
With whom is no variableness, and neither a shadow of a turn. And with God, there is no respect of persons. It's for you, brother. It's for you, brother. This thing, you need to be sanctified, those of you that aren't. Those of you that are, we all can dig a little deeper. We all can take heed to the things that we have heard. Now, I can discount them, and I can say, I know that.
Yeah.
Or I can take it to me, and I can meditate upon it.
A lot of difference.
Take it wholly to myself. I can build on it. I can use it as a building block, or I can let it be a stumbling stone.
That's right.
Yeah, the preaching of the word.
Right.
It can be that.
That's right.
It's foolishness to some people. It is. It's foolishness to some people. I can't say that too well. But we that are children of God, let's earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I love the kingdom of God that we're in. I love every aspect of it. And we're not short on any point. If we had time to tell you about all the goodness that God has blessed us with, all of His spiritual blessings. He's got a kingdom of God, this thing that He can work in the lives and hearts of men and give you everything you need and to spare. Here's a one that would like to be prayed for here this morning. Someone raise your hand for prayer. God bless you. We appreciate that. Appreciate y'all being here. We'd like to sing a song of invitation. Those that feel the need of prayer and want to pray, sanctified people are anxious.
Oh yeah, we're ready.
Anxious to offer up a sincere and earnest, sincere prayer before God. What does it say about the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous? While we stand, let's sing a song of invitation and all come forward.